Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 11 is where we will be today. We're going to talk about comfort and courage through listening to the Lord. So that is the message today in Isaiah 51. Remember, it's a message to the to those Jewish exiles who are still trusting God. Those Jewish exiles who are still waiting on God, seeking God, still praying, still hoping. Remember what the exile is now, the 6th century B.C., the land of Judah and the city of Jerusalem have been taken over and taken captive. The people there have been moved over into Babylon, some into the city of Babylon as a discipline from the Lord. They're there for a long season, and many are discouraged, and the Lord is calling them to listen. That's what's happening in the text today through Isaiah. He's calling them to see the great vision, to fix their minds on the great vision of God, His plans, His purposes in the world, where He's moving the future. He first tells them to look back, then He tells them to look forward. He tells them to locate themselves right in God's plan. And in doing so, He says they're going to find comfort and they're going to find courage in this current state where they are sorrowful. Now, the flow of the text, we're going to read the text, verses 1 through 11 of Isaiah 51. We're going to read that, but the flow of it is that they've listened, and then after that, we know they did listen because they're moved to prayer. And that's very important. So today, for us, we need to be listening to the word of the Lord. See ourselves in the history of God's plan of salvation. Let it happen in your heart today. Right now, begin to pray. Open your mind and your heart up to the comfort of the Lord and the courage of the Lord. Let it happen today as the Spirit works. And then we'll be moved to pray, cry out to God, and then move out this week and live for His glory. Let's stand together in honor of God's word. I'll read it and then we'll talk about it. Isaiah 51. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places, and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, and thanksgiving in the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people. Give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from you, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. Awake, awake. Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake in the days of old, as in the days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters in the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over? And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. And they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Amen. This is God's word. You may be seated. It's a strong word, isn't it? The prophets of the Old Testament, including Isaiah, leveled some severe rebukes to the people of God, and the rebukes were warranted. The people had sinned, and they were warned of the consequences of disobedience and unfaithfulness to the Lord. The purpose of these rebukes and these warnings was to correct and to change. But we also need to remember that the Lord saves. And the message of the prophets was salvation. The salvation of the Lord is sure, and the salvation of the Lord is everlasting to all generations, and that is what brings us comfort, and that's what gives us courage. It is the salvation of the Lord, the final end, that gives the people of God lasting and true comfort and courage. And then that message leads to prayer. Often people think that prayer is what you do when you don't have courage or comfort. Prayer is what you do when you don't want to act. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says when you know the truth of God and your heart is filled with comfort and courage, it sets you praying, because prayer reveals that we still trust God. It reveals that we are still in faith, that we still have hope. It reveals that we have positioned and postured our hearts and minds according to God's will and ways in the future of salvation. That's why the Bible, the whole Bible, ends with prayer. The last verses of the Bible say, "Come, Lord Jesus." That's a prayer. And then the benediction, "The grace of the Lord be with you all. Amen." That's Revelation 22. Our passage today reads like a mini book of Revelation. A small, little encapsulated book of Revelation. Not the imagery. We didn't read all the imagery. A little bit of imagery here, but not the imagery of Revelation. But the will and the ways and the work of God to bring about a final and full salvation. And then the prayer for the Lord to do it. The implication being that we find our comfort and our courage in the salvation of the Lord to live now, to set us out praying. So Isaiah 51 is to the exiles, Revelation to the churches, both of them for us today. I pray that you will hear the Lord today. I pray that you will be comforted. I pray that we will have courage for the living of these days. I pray it will set us to prayer. I pray it will send us out for the glory of God, living lives of confidence in Him. We're praying for this. I pray that someone today will come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Isaiah 51 and 52, by the way, if you'll look at the text, Isaiah starting in 51, all the way through 52, verse 12, a chapter and a half, form a large section. We're only taking part of it today, but it forms a large section, and this section is organized around two words. Listen is the first one, and awake is the second one. Our text today, the first 11 verses of chapter 51, God is calling His people to listen so they will be comforted and have courage. And then God's people cry out to God to awake. That's the prayer. And the next week, Bill Maynard is going to preach, and he's going to pick up where I leave off today in 51 and go through part of 52, and we're going to hear that the people are being called to awake, to wake up to the Lord, and then to depart from their exile. Today, though, the portion that we're taking, it does this. Here's a bit of structure for you, okay? Starts out by telling us who it is being spoken to. And then there are three listens. And those three listens lead to that great prayer of courage and confidence and comfort in the Lord for the Lord to awake. So it's very important for us to see, first of all, to whom the Lord is speaking. He says, listen. And they call upon him to awake. Who is it? Verse 1, verse 4, verse 7, we see something very important. Verse 1, he says, listen, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Verse 4, be attentive, my people, my nation. Verse 7, listen, you who know righteousness, in whose heart is my law. Well, who are these people? They are the people of God. These are the Jews who still trust in the Lord. They still seek the Lord. In their heart is the law of God, the love of God. They want to keep the word of God. They're called in the book of Isaiah, the remnant. Isaiah 10, Isaiah 11, many other places, they're called the remnant. They are the remaining ones, the ones who are remaining in faith, who are remaining in faithfulness to God. So a remnant of those who are in exile loved the Lord. They're in exile. The whole people of God, something has happened to the whole nation, and many of them are in Babylon, and they're being disciplined by the Lord. But there are many of them in Babylon, in exile, who still trusted the Lord. They are tempted toward discouragement. And so the Lord is addressing them. We could say this whole half, really all the book of Isaiah, but especially in the second half, starting in verse 40, the Lord is saying, comfort, comfort my people. And he's addressing them because they're tempted toward discouragement. This is why we should read the Bible. It's why we should read the New Testament letters, because they are written to the church of, yes, the first century, but today, tempted to discouragement. Here's an example. We're coming up on Easter. The great resurrection passage preached almost every year at Easter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's all about our resurrection in Christ. And the whole point, Paul says, of telling them about the resurrection all through this chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, he comes to the end because he wants to encourage them and comfort them so that they will be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord now in their living. So the message of Easter Sunday, resurrection, is certainly for the world, but it's for the remnant. It's for the people of faith, the people of God in faith, the church, to live on Monday. Hopeful, prayerful, active, faithful, obedient. Who's being addressed here? The people of God, you who trust the Lord, you who seek the Lord here this morning, you who want the kingdom of God first and foremost in your life, you are being spoken to today. The Lord is bringing to you a word of comfort, a word of courage, so that we will pray and live for him in these days. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches today. So three words that say listen, three words of courage and comfort. Here they are. The first one, verses 1 through 3. He says in verse 1 and 2, listen, and then he says look. Listen to, here's the message, look. Look to the rock, he says, from which you were hewn, the quarry from which you were dug. Look to, you say, what does that mean? The rock and the quarry, what are we talking about? We're talking about Abraham. He's talking about Abraham and Sarah, the father and the mother of the nation. From one, Abraham, from one man came a multitude of people. Well, this takes us all the way back to Genesis 12 when it all started for the nation of Israel. The Lord called one man Abraham, who had a wife. Her name was Sarah. And they were going to be the first parents of an entire nation. But there was a big problem. And most of you, maybe if you've read Genesis 12, you remember what the big problem is. The big problem is they had no children and they were well beyond childbearing years. In other words, impossible. After a long season of attempting to make something happen and showing a lack of faith and understanding of God and his ways, but God is teaching them, a lot of testing of their faith, finally, the Lord caused it to happen. it wasn't the same as Jesus born to a virgin. Rather, it was a husband and a wife past childbearing years, and the Lord miraculously enabled her to become pregnant with a son. And so Isaac was born, the child of promise. Is he? Yes, but pointing to one coming. And then after that, Jacob, Isaac's son, and then the 12 sons, the 12 tribes, and then eventually a whole nation of people. The Lord did it. That's the point. And so he says in Isaiah 51 to the people who are in exile, wondering if God will deliver them, discouraged but faithful, he says, look. Look back to them. Look back to your beginning. And look back when you see your beginning, look back and see that God did it. And there's where you find your comfort. And there's where you find your courage. And there's where you find your confidence that God is going to keep doing it. The one who did it then is going to do it now. He's still doing it. He says in verse 3, you won't always be like a waste place, a wasteland. You won't always be in a wilderness. The Lord is going to bless you. He's going to flourish you like Eden. Joy and gladness will be yours, and your song will be the song of thanksgiving, because there will be comfort for Zion. Now remember that word Zion. We say, well, Jerusalem, Zion, you know, just same thing. Yes, and Zion, many things. When you read the Bible, there's evidence that when the word Zion is used for Jerusalem, there is a specific reference to the presence of God in that city. The city, yes, but the presence of God in that city. The comfort comes to Zion because they're called to look back to their beginning and see that God raised them up. God started this. So, Christian, look back. Look all the way back to Abraham. Because from him came the Christ. And even we who are not Jewish are brought in to the people of God by faith in Christ. Look back to Abraham. See that the real child, the true child of Abraham, that Abraham predicted in Genesis 22 when he was offering up Isaac on the altar, he said, the Lord will provide for himself a lamb. And John the Baptist came and said, that's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. His name is Jesus Christ. Look back to him. Look back to the cross of Christ. Look back and see that in Jesus Christ, at the cross of Christ, you have a beginning. Yes, you can go all the way back to Abraham, but remember, it started with Jesus Christ, the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega, the author and finisher, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The reason you look back to Christ is because you find yourself there being saved by the grace of God, so that you will have courage and comfort to look forward. Surely, surely he who began the good work in you at the cross is going to complete it. Listen, brothers and sisters. Do you think for a moment that God, who gave up his only son for you on the cross and saved you by his grace and cleansed you from your sins, do you think for a moment he's not going to continue what he started? Of course he is. Look back. Listen, he says. Look and see. And see yourself. Why do you look back? He told these people, Isaiah told these people, look all the way back to Abraham and Sarah, because that's, they knew. They knew that's where God started his big and expansive and gracious visionary plan to bring salvation to the nations. And he's saying, find yourself there. And so we look back to the cross of Christ and to our salvation, to find ourselves, to find where we started, to find where we're going. We are a part of the plan of God. That's our place. If you become a Christian, so much of people telling other people to become a Christian is so that something about that person individually, which there is some of that, okay? Our sins are forgiven, we're reconciled to God. But it's so much bigger than that. It's that. And when you become a Christian, you become a part of the very plan of God for all of eternity to bring salvation to the ends of the earth forever and ever to all generations. Now that's life. And so there's a word of comfort there and courage too, right? So he says, look and listen. Second listen, verses 4 through 6. He starts with give attention, same thing. Listen, give attention, be attentive. We could say give ear. I'm starting to give an ear. It's not because I'm old, it's because people don't speak loud enough. I'm having to lean the ear in. I was at a gathering last night with some neighborhood people, and we were at a place that was particularly loud, and this person kept talking to me, and I turned my ear, and then I leaned, and I leaned, and I leaned, and I was almost in her face by the time it was over with. And that's what we do. That's the image. That's the picture. Turn and lean in and give attention to what the Lord is saying, because it's an important word that will bring you comfort and courage. What does he say? Verse 4, listen, give attention. Now, the law, the teaching of God, the plan of God. Law doesn't mean just like a one rule. Here, when it says law of God, it means the word, the revelation, the teaching of God, and the light of God's justice, meaning God's rule in the world, is going to go out. Verse 4, look what it says, to the people. Something just happened. Something just happened right there to the peoples, nations. Started with one, right? Abraham. Through him came a nation. And look what happens. It's getting expansive. It's growing. It's moving. It's spreading to peoples, to nations. Verse 5. His righteousness, his rightful rule, his salvation, his restoration, his judgments, his discernments are going out to the peoples, the coastlands are hoping and waiting for the arm and the word of the Lord. It's happening right here in this text. The language of expansion to the nations. Very consistent with Genesis 12. Because when the Lord raised up Abraham, that one man and his wife Sarah, through whom would come a son, another son, then 12, and then a nation. When the Lord did that, he said, I'm gonna make a nation out of you. I will bless you, and you will become a blessing to the nations. In you, the nations will be blessed. And we know that in God's time and in God's way, Christ came as a light to the nations. He is the salvation of God to the ends of the earth. He says in verse 6, the present order, meaning heaven and earth and the inhabitants are going to pass away. We see this in 2 Peter. 2 Peter, the New Testament, chapter 3 says that the new heaven, the new earth is going to be so wonderful, wonderfully new and amazing that it's like the old is just burned up. It passes away because the new, it supersedes it, is so great. The present, he says, is going to pass away, but my salvation will be forever and my righteousness will never be dismayed. Once again, that grand and expansive and gracious saving plan of God, the vision is given to us. He says, pay attention. Listen, lean your ear into this. It's like the writer of Hebrews in the New Testament. He says, don't neglect this great salvation. He didn't say little salvation. He didn't say limited salvation. He didn't say localized salvation. He says massive, expansive, great salvation. Pay attention to it. Find yourself in it. We're talking about this vision, this theological vision of God. It's what sustains us. Well, there it is again. It's page after page of the Bible is showing us that God has this plan to redeem a people for himself, for his glory, for all of eternity. And he says, you're in it. Look back to Abraham. Look back to the cross. What I'm doing in the nations, you get included through Jesus Christ. You're in. Let it, by faith, you're in. By grace through faith, let that sustain your soul. You know what else it'll do? It'll keep you grounded in God. Because I promise you, if you try to find comfort and courage in the circumstances of your life, you'll have it for 10 minutes. But when we discipline and train our minds to find ourselves in God, when we find ourselves in the purposes of God, in the grace of God, we are established and confirmed and strong and standing in the grace of God. That's what he's saying here to these people, these exiles who are there and discouraged and wondering if God's really watching them. He says, listen, I started it. I'll finish it. Listen, I'm expanding it. I'll continue it. You're included. Third, listen, verses 7 and 8. Verse 7, he says, don't fear. Don't fear. Does that ever frustrate you? Boy, it does me. I fear. And the word says, don't fear. And it seems so simple, doesn't it? Don't do that. Jesus said it this way. He looked at his children, his followers, and he knew they were going to fear. Luke 11, he said, fear not, little flock. Oh, there you go. Little flock, little flock. He wasn't being cute. He wasn't being, you know, like a grandparent. Oh, little flock, gather around me, little flock. He was speaking to his people of faith who, from the standpoint of the world, look so insignificant, look so small. Here we are with all the uproar of the world saying Jesus is Lord, looking like a little flock. But Jesus knew he was the shepherd. Fear not, little flock, he said, little remnant, little faithful ones on this earth following after me, declaring my lordship, seeking my kingdom. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Ours will be the kingdom by grace through faith. We will be brought in and will inherit the kingdom of God. So he says in verses 7 and 8 of our text, fear not the reproach of man. You know, at some point, faithfulness to God and following after Christ is going to put us at odds with people, with the world, with man. It's going to happen. We try to prevent it, and we talk about how we can prevent it, but if we're following faithful after Jesus, we cannot prevent it. We will be reproached by men. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus said, Matthew 10, he was about to send out his followers to go on a short-term mission. They were going on a mission trip. They were coming back. It's just the 10th chapter of Matthew. There's a lot of gospel to go. And they're going out on a short-term mission. And Jesus said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take this. I want you to take that. Don't overpack, but take enough. This is how I want you to speak. It's how I want you to greet people. And he looked straight at him and he said, and they're going to oppose you. They're going to oppose you. They're going to persecute you. In fact, more than once, Jesus said, they're going to drag you in front of the courts. But have no fear of them. Now, why would he say that? Because they weren't going to get hurt? No. They got hurt. I'm bewildered sometimes by the way God lets his prophets be treated. John the Baptist got his head cut off. Fear not. Don't fear them. Why? Because they can't touch your soul. Fear not. And from that point on, fear not was the word. Before that, Abraham. In Genesis, God said, fear not. Those Hebrew midwives who defied the Pharaoh and kept the Hebrew boys alive, he said, fear not. Moses and Joshua, fear not. Naomi and Ruth, fear not. King David, fear not. Isaiah, fear not. Ahaz, Isaiah 7, fear not, and he did. The Lord said, if you're not firm in faith, you won't be faith at all. Fear not. He did. Hezekiah, he held in there. He trusted the Lord. The disciples, the apostles, the early church, Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Timothy. And the churches of Revelation, he said, fear not. And the saints and martyrs throughout church history who confessed Jesus Christ, he said, fear not. To the people who translated the Bible and were burned at the stake for it, he said, fear not. You say, what? Did that happen? Yes, that happened. And who burned them? Other people who claim to be Christians. Can you believe that? This is so precious because it's God's word. But it's also so precious because God, in his providence, raised up people who would translate it in modern languages like English, and they died for it. And when they died, they were burned at the stake. What did the Lord say? Fear not. And throughout history, as Christians have faithfully said, we will gather to worship. We will. We will not stop gathering. We will evangelize. We will not stop speaking the things that we have seen and heard from the Lord Jesus Christ. They did it in his name, and some were unharmed, and others were harmed, but the Lord said, fear not. How grateful I am. I didn't suffer any persecution. So let me be very clear before I start down this road. But I'm very grateful that when I was a Christian, when I became a Christian, it was in the summertime, and I had to go back to a public high school here in Nashville in the 70s, and that was a wild ride. If you were around, you know, and I remember walking onto my campus for the first football game on a Friday night and having my friends say, hey, they called me Patty, by the way. They said, Patty, and I knew, these are my friends. Let's go party. And I said, well, you know, guys, let me tell you something. This summer I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Crickets. The football team stopped. Referee blew the whistle. The band ceased to play. And the spotlight landed between me and three of my friends as the words came out of my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm so grateful that somebody told me before I went back to that high school that fall. They said, now, Scott, I know you're going to follow Jesus, and so something might happen. It might be tough, so you're going to have to learn to stand alone. And some of you all were here with me in those days, and you know. And we didn't suffer. I mean, you know, it was embarrassing sometimes. But how grateful I am that somebody just said it. It's going to be tough. They might laugh at you. So stand firm and fear not. If you're a student today, fear not. I know it's hard. So you don't understand what it's like in my world. No, I do. I do. I went to school. Went to high school here and public school. Fear not. You're in the workplace. I know it's hard. So you don't know it's hard. You're a pastor. You don't go to a workplace. Or everybody in your workplace is a Christian. Well, yeah, I think everybody in my workplace is a Christian. Look at these guys over here on staff. They are. But I've worked in other places, in neighbors, in people. It doesn't matter. We all know, right? Parents raising your kids, fear not. Fear not. Let's trust the Lord. Based on what? Based on, because everything is going to turn out beautifully. Well, the Lord lets things happen to his people. So here's what's based on verse 8, second part of verse 8. He says, fear not, up in verse 7, the reproach of men. Don't be dismayed by their revilings. And then, my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. That's why you don't fear. That's why we don't fear. It's not so much what will or will not happen to us today. We don't fear because we know what's going to happen finally. And that is, the salvation of the Lord will go to the ends of the earth, generation to generation, and we, by grace, through faith, are in that salvation. So the Lord says, listen. I called you. I caused it to happen. I'll continue it. Be comforted. Listen. I save. I'm expanding my salvation. You're in it by grace through faith. Be confident. Listen. Don't fear men. Salvation is going to the ends of the earth. Have courage. And when that happened, these people then turn. I think it landed well. I think one time, more than one time, but this time in Isaiah, I think the message landed well, and the people's hearts were encouraged, and the people had comfort, and they turn now, verse 9 through 11, they turn now to the Lord, and they say, awake, awake. And you think, don't people pray when they don't have courage? Well, sometimes yes, but they are praying because they are encouraged and they know God will do it. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake, as in the days of old and generations long ago. They're crying out to the Lord and they're appealing to the Lord's power. Put on your arm of strength. You delivered us in the past. We look back to Egypt. I look back to the cross. If God's power is great enough to send his son to die for my sins and to deliver me from my sins and to transfer me from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son and to wash me of every sin and even renew my nature through the process of the Holy Spirit regenerating me, then is not God strong enough to save me in the future? Absolutely he is. Put on strength, O Lord, as in the days of old, generation long ago. You've done it before. Do it again. Surely God will save. Notice it's a question. Notice the questions there. Was it not you, verse 10, was it not you that dried up the sea and the waters of the deep, who made the depth of the sea a way for the redeemed to go through and pass by? Was that not you? Now, that's not a question of doubt. That's a rhetorical question of confidence. You did it then. Awaken, Lord, and do it now. Surely the Lord allows us to have these kinds of prayers. Surely we can say, Lord, did you not say that you would be with me? Lord, did you not say that you were going to preserve your church? Lord, did you not say that Christ is going to return? Did you not say that you were going to glorify your name in this world? Did you not say that we are your children? Lord, did you not say that you were going to provide for us? We can pray those kinds of prayers. Those aren't doubt prayers. Those are faith prayers. It's calling on God to awaken. And the Lord says, yes, I said it, and I will do it. So, brothers and sisters, train your ear. Train your ear to listen. This is one of the greatest disciplines of the Christian life, is to know what to listen to. Listen to the Lord. And all those messages that anything that creates the slightest bit of doubt in God is not to be listened to. This is so interesting. I don't know if do I have time to go here? No, but I'm going to. It's so interesting. We say, watch what, though, be careful, little ear, what you hear. Right? You ever sing that song when you're growing up? And it's like, what does that mean? Well, don't be around bad words. Don't be around bad language. You know, don't be around. We're so interested in that kind of stuff. And, okay, I get it. See, I shouldn't go here because now I got to explain it and it's going to take too long. Let me just say, we get so hung up on those kinds of things. Do you know what really is the most devastating to our ears? The things that bring doubt of God. Train your ear. Train your eyes to see the vision of God. Positively, let the Lord, ask the Lord to give us vision to see back where all this started, future, where all this is going, ourselves right in the middle of it. Let that produce this kind of prayer. Awaken, Lord, awaken. The end of the Bible, come, Lord Jesus. It's not a doubt that he's going to come back. It's an awakening prayer for him to come back and act again and then go forward. And so how does this passage close today? Because when you're praying like this, this is what you need to remind yourself. You need to remind yourself of what is true. And, verse 11, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion, there's our word, with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. May the Lord give us the confidence that this will be, regardless of what happens between now and then, and keep our hearts in prayer and faith and hope and love. Father, thank you for your word today.